Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all.
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Devo.
Yay! Yeah. My bad. Oh, sorry. Sorry. There you are.
It doesn't matter.
Wow. It's already picking up from here.
Yes, sir.
7:03 now. Welcome to Shock Therapy Live. I am Steve-O. With me, as always, Pastor Nate Heitzig.
Bam!
Hey, buddy.
Bam!
I haven't seen you in a
like
day.
12 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. How you doing, buddy? How's your weekend going?
Look at how freaking
you got the V-neck
sunburned
tan.
I am!
That's because you were
it
rocking.
Hurts.
You were rocking that collared shirt all day long.
Oh.
See, I went white trash at Edge Fest and just took my shirt off.
Yeah.
I was chilling in the grass, shirtless, with a backwards hat, with rolled up jeans.
True story!
Bam! Dude.
Yeah.
It was a really fun show.
What an amazing show. Amberlynn killed it.
Dude.
They were incredible. The Echoing Green, I was stoked. I got to see my wife. And,
yeah.
And that was just fun.
Dude, my mind was blown. It was such a good... Hey, huge shout out to Dex for scoring me tickets.
Yeah, that was
fun. Super stoked, blessed by
those
that.
Those guys are great.
Yeah.
I love those guys.
Man, it was just a lot of fun.
I wish there
and
was
I saw so many
whole...
people that I knew, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I know,
cool.
Right? It was great.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Lots of people.
Dude, good weekend. So. I got a motorcycle. I went to Edge Fest. I had boba tea this morning. Just a great weekend.
Yeah.
Man.
We had Saturate at our church this morning. And
what's
so
Saturate?
If there's ever a fifth Sunday, it's the fifth Sunday of the month
now,
right? We do a special all worship. And so we had Asher come in. And my friend Rick and my friend Ben. And we had just had a lot of people come in and just do all worship. And
fun.
It was incredible. So, yeah. I'm really sunburned and lots of pain right now.
Are you?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It hurts.
I stubbed my toe.
Did you?
Yeah. Peeled it back.
Oh.
So not fun.
Yeah, no. No, that hurts worse, I think.
Because
mine will go away pretty easily.
Yeah, but you're going to get all peely and nasty.
True story. True story. So, anyways, welcome to Shock Therapy Live. Steve-O, Pastor Nate here with you. And, dude, we've already got a few questions.
Yeah.
In fact, speaking of Edgefest, I was at Edgefest yesterday, along with you.
Yes.
And I'm standing, hanging out near the bathrooms, because I'm a creep. No, because I was waiting for my wife to come out. And this girl comes up and says, hey, I have a question. Are you the host of that Shock Therapy Live show? And I said, yes, I am. And she said, well, I have a question. And she asks the question. And then I said, can you call that in, please? It's the next one on our email list. Booyah.
Okay,
so can you please email that or call it in? That's a crazy awesome question, but I really just am not going to remember it all, even though I actually did because it was so interestingly unique that I thought, hey, this is a good one. And she did. She actually, she emailed it in.
Yeah, here's the question, and I'll ask it. It says, hey, guys, I met Steve-O Edgefest yesterday, and my question was this. People who are born with psychological diseases who end up becoming serial killers and such, is that a modern form of demon possession? And if not, why would they be born that way? I look forward to hearing your answers. Thanks. It's a good question, and actually, it kind of threw me back for a second. I mentioned it to my dad, and he kind of had a great answer. Because originally I heard the question posed, the way that originally heard it, was people who have psychological conditions that lead them to serial killing, is that a modern day form of demon possession? And my dad answered, it depends on whether or not they're demon possessed.
Right.
And I love that because it's really a case by case basis. You can't say that all people who have psychological disorders that become serial killers are demon possessed.
Because so can it be a form of sure? But
this is where I believe. But we believe that. For instance, when Hitler murdered 5 million Jews, I 100% beyond a shadow of a doubt believe that there was demonic influence and possession behind that encounter, killing God's chosen people. And my dad agrees, and I believe that was a form of demon possession. Do I believe that every single person who's a serial killer is demon possessed? No. Do I believe that everyone has psychological disorders is demon possessed? No. What I do believe is that it is indirectly a cause of Satan. And what I mean by that is the Bible says in Romans that in the beginning, just as through one man, sin entered the world, and through sin, death, and death spread to all men. The reason there are psychological orders today is because of sin, because of fallen man. Mm-hmm. Just the same way people say, why are kids born retarded with mental dysfunctions? It's a downfall, and it's part of sin. As a matter of fact, in the 1800s and in the 1700s, people actually believed that people who had Down syndrome, people who had mental disabilities, were demon-possessed. And yeah. they believed, and they would actually kill them at times because of that.
Horrible.
And now we obviously know that is not the case.
Yeah.
At all. So I would not say that every psychological order means demon possession. As a matter of fact, I would say if you're born with a psychological disorder, you're not demon possessed. But I would say that it might open up a door that would make it easier for Satan to influence you. And what I mean by that is everyone with a psychological disorder doesn't become a serial killer.
Right.
And there's a reason for that. Because if you get the right treatment and the right help and you get the right, doctors and the right people around you, you can live a somewhat normal life. Now if you don't take the medication that the doctors prescribe, if you don't take the cycle that the doctor prescribes, then you can open yourself up to being fooled by tricks from the devil, and by things that could lead you into that path. So I think God's put us in an incredible time, and he's given us doctors that can do things in our lives that can help us. Just as somebody, you know, once again, a psychological disorder is a sickness just like any other sickness. If someone's born with AIDS, does that mean that God hates them? No, it's a downfall of sin. And because of that, they can still overcome that from a young age if they have the right medical care and the right medical attention. So I would say it's the same with a psychological disorder. It's something that needs to be treated and something that needs to be seen by a doctor. And if not, the door can definitely be open up to demon possession or demonic influence, at least.
There you go. Yeah. Good answer.
Yeah.
That's a good, because, yeah, I mean, you can't say that about everyone, but at the same time, you're right. And it doesn't negate the consequences of anyone's actions. You
yeah.
know what I mean? I think a lot of times people will say, but it wasn't their fault. They were demon possessed. And that's why 17 people are now dead. It wasn't
yeah.
their fault, you know? And it's like, no. Oh, it's their fault.
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, and even taking a step back, even apart from demon possession, we can say, you know, a lot of people use the excuse I was born that way as an excuse to do a multitude of things, not just being a serial killer.
Yeah.
I was born with a propensity towards alcohol, so that's why I'm an alcoholic. I was born with an attraction towards males. That's why I'm homosexual. I was born, my parents were drug addicts, so I'm a drug addict naturally. I have to do drugs. We can be born with an inclination to do something. That's called temptation. Yeah. Falling into that temptation is called sin. So once again, with the right help, any temptation can be overcome. So we can never use anything that we're born with a natural propensity or an inclination to do as an excuse to do it. With the Lord's help and with the help of the technology and doctors and support groups around us, we can overcome a multitude of sins. So
there it is. Yeah, 505-338-3700, the phone number. If you'd like to chime in, that's 505-338-3700. And dude, interesting stuff this evening already.
Yeah.
Facebook.com/MySatic Radio is where you can find us on Facebook. And if you'd like to chime in that way, maybe you don't want to call up, but you still want to get your question in, you can Facebook us, Facebook.com/MySatic Radio, or email us, studio@MySaticRadio.com.
Yeah.
We got a really
shock therapy question.
Shock therapy question, man.
Yeah.
Interesting one.
This is the question. It's from Amber, and she says, so I had a question. My parents say it's not right to mix races, like date someone who isn't the same color. I'm not sure if it's okay or not, but I wanted your inputs and what it says about that in the Bible. Thanks, guys.
Should we just call Asher?
No, my
gosh. And Sally? Should we just call them?
I hear that question, and it makes me angry.
I'm not gonna lie, it kinda pissed me off.
Yeah.
Not Amber. It's a great question, Amber, but I'm not gonna lie. I was immediately frustrated with said parents, cause I was
kinda
like,
kinda wanna punch
how,
them.
Wow!
Kinda wanna, this is, and, you know, the Bible doesn't really say much about it. You know, if your parents are super old school, they might go to Old Testament and say, well, God said when the Israelites came to take over a country or to take over a group of people, not to marry them and not to mix. And so that's why we can't mix races. When that was happening, it was specifically having to do with their religious,
right.
differences, not their racial differences. Because as a matter of fact, at that time, racially, they weren't a whole lot different. They were Middle Eastern people. They looked the same. But it had to do with a religious difference. And we still hold to that. Do not be unequally yoked. We tell people all the time, it doesn't matter what color you are.
Yeah.
If you're a Christian and they're a Mormon, don't get married.
Yeah.
If you're a Christian and they're a Muslim, don't get married. If you're a Christian and they're an atheist, don't get married. So we don't want to mix religions. But races is an entirely different story. And I would point with this question. I was talking to Steve about it off air. To me, this is like the Judaizers of the day. It was the Judaizers of the day when Paul started spreading the gospel, got super mad and said, "How dare you start bringing Gentiles into this Jewish religion," which was racist. Basically, how dare you mix our races together?
Right.
And Paul and Peter and the whole apostles had some strong words to say to these Judaizers who are doing this, who are saying, because we're of Moses, because we're circumcised, because we're Jewish, we're better than you Greeks, than you Gentiles, than you Romans,
yeah.
We're better than you. And it was basically an original form of racism. That's what it was. And it was not okay in any way. The reason that your parents, unless you're Jewish, but with a name like Amber Dawn, I highly doubt it, unless your parents are Jewish, then it is because of racial mixing that they're Christians. It's
right.
Because of God grafting in the Gentiles into his plan for the Jewish nation. It's because God grafted us in. That's why we can be called Christians today.
Yeah.
So your parents should love racial mixing, not be against it. Now I will say, I don't know the situation. Maybe the guy that you're interested in dating isn't a Christian. And if that's the case, then there's a different ground to stand on. But just the race card, not okay. Not okay at all.
Yeah, dude, I'm not gonna lie. I'm still taken aback. It's 2012, right?
Yeah.
Right? Okay. I'm just making sure.
We don't know if they're Mennonites or something though, so.
Yeah, you never, I couldn't believe it. But dude, Amber, thank you so much for, submitting that question.
Do you have anything else to pipe in on that?
No, dude, honestly, I'm not gonna lie. Little shocked.
You know
what?
Little
shocked.
I kinda wanna see a cage match between John Jones and her parents.
I was just talking about my dear friend Asher and the fact that, you know, we had him help with worship today, and my dear friend, who is black,
yeah,
and who is married to Sally, who is white, and I just can't even, I've never even thought about, like, oh, I can't believe, you know what I mean? It kind of baffled me a little bit. And it
crazy.
It threw me off.
Crazy.
I'm kind of angry. So, yeah, I have nothing more to add, because even a fool is thought wise to have kept silent, and I don't want to say something that later I'll feel bad about, because those are still her parents.
Yes.
Yeah. Shock Therapy Live. Welcome.
Hey, guys. It's Amber. Hi.
Hi. Hi, Amber.
Well, it's okay being mad. I don't mind.
Okay, cool.
Cool, because we're mad.
Because we're
I don't really understand sometimes what she says, but she says that God just makes certain people to be together, and people shouldn't be together.
Okay.
That's God's choice, not hers.
Yeah,
if God brings two people together, it doesn't matter what color they are. That's God's choice, not hers. And for her to say, "Well, you shouldn't be with this person," so are you God now? Because if God bring them together, then why do you have any input in it?
Now, I will say this: I would ask your mom where that is found in Scripture. Where does God say these things? Because people can say all day, "Oh, well, God said," but unless she can find that in Scripture to back that up, then, dude, yeah.
Yeah, she has a strong opinion on lots of things. So.
Now, let me ask you this, Amber. How old are you?
18.
18. Okay, you are 18. Because, you know, I wanted to talk about, I'm assuming you're still living at home. Are you still living at home?
Yeah.
Under the roof of your parents. And so here's the thing. The Bible does call you to honor your mother and father. However... something like this, dude, where it's just
God calls you to honor.
It's not biblically founded in any way, shape, or form.
God calls you to honor your mother and father and honor the government up until the point that honoring them causes you to supersede God's laws.
Yeah.
And I believe that taking this idea that races shouldn't mix, and really this is a dangerous kind of thinking.
Yeah.
I believe that it's anti-Bible,
gosh,
that it's anti-Christ,
yeah,
to a certain point. And so I would say that this is one of those things you say, you know what, I'm Yeah, whatever, you guys can believe that, but I'm not going to abide by your laws on this, because I believe that it's not only wrong, it's against what the Bible says.
Absolutely. Now there's a way, the reason I bring up the honoring though is because you can still approach it in love. Don't be like, Steve-O and Nate said, you're stupid.
Yeah.
Even though we do say that because it's stupid. But you still need to approach them in a way that is still honoring to God. Just because they're not God honoring and their thoughts and ideas of stupidity, you still need to, you know.
I don't know if it's right or not. I just kind of keep my opinion to myself so we don't end up arguing.
Well, now you know that it's not right.
That's just not right. Wow. I'm not sorry.
Right at
all. Still just shocked. I'm shocked. It's 2012. I just assumed. I don't know. What do they do for like the month of February when it's like Black History Month? Do they just like go hide somewhere? Or I'm just so shocked.
They're not racist. They just don't really think it's right for me to be with someone who's not my color.
Yeah, no, that's racist.
That's
full on 100%.
They're not really racist. They just don't like me to be around black people.
Right. That's racist.
Well, it's not black people. It's just
Well, okay, considering it's New Mexico.
My parents aren't racist. They just don't like me being around people of other colors.
Yeah, or Spanish people. Yeah, yeah. We don't like Mexican people.
Now okay, it's okay to not like gangbangers, but the whole Hispanic people as a group, that's not okay to not like
I'm half Hispanic, yo. If it wasn't for my mom and my dad, who my mom full on Spanish and my dad white, man, if they had your parents, I wouldn't be here.
There's going to be groups of people that no one likes.
Yeah.
For instance, if we want to look at like the white people, I'm not a huge fan of gangbangers, but I'm also not a huge fan of like white supremacists and like rednecks.
Yeah.
So I mean, if we're gonna find a group of people in each race that we don't like, then man, we're not gonna be able to get married to anybody.
Yeah.
Because there's weird people in every group, including Christians. If we want to label Christians by one group, let's talk about the people who like kiss snakes and like dance with snakes at church services.
Yeah.
Freaky, you know, it's dangerous to label a whole group of people off of a characteristic you might not like of some person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does that help you, Amber?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
Some people agree with me, so.
Yeah, the Bible agrees with you, too.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. That's just... All right. Thanks for the call.
Well, thanks, guys.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. You're listening to Shocking right there. Shock Therapy Live. That was a Shock Therapy Live question. Wow.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Steve-O, Pastor Nate with you. I apologize. I'm just a little... Well, I'm a little shocked. That's a little crazy. We got a question from Adrian. Speaking of that, talking about sex, if you will.
Sex.
S-E-C-T-S. Not the fun kind, but like the weird, like, ooh, creepy stuff.
Adrian.
Yeah.
No, that's not sex. It says...
S-E-C-T. Yes, not the fun stuff. I'm talking about the crazy... Yeah.
Sect. A sect.
It's hard to say, bro.
A sect of... you have to just really pronounce the T. A sect.
Yes.
A sect.
You know what I'm trying to say!
A sect of Christianity.
Yes.
Catholicism. Why couldn't you have just said Catholicism?
What?
You're stupid.
I love you and hate you.
It says, is practicing Catholicism wrong/sinful in the eyes of the Lord?
Is practicing Catholicism wrong or sinful in the eyes of the Lord?
Not always.
Right.
No and yes sometimes.
For what
Let's say
purpose?
That. Let's say no and yes sometimes. This is one thing I mean.
Baptists wrong
and sinful? At Renovate, we have Catholics that come. We have people from the Baptist church that come. We have people from Calvary
Lutherans.
That come. People from Copper Point. People from Legacy. People from Sagebrush. We have all kinds of different people that come to Renovate. And I love it because I think there's a lot of disunity in the body of Christ. And one of the first questions I get when I tell people I'm a Christian is they say, well, what kind? What do you mean, what kind?
Right.
Well, are you a Baptist? Are you a Catholic? Are you Reformed? Are you an Arminian? And I say, I'm a biblical Christian. And they never know how to respond to that.
Right.
What does that mean? Well, I take what the Bible says, and I agree with that.
Right.
So I have a lot of Catholics that I have as friends that I truly believe will be in heaven. Then there's other people that I believe that take Catholicism to an extreme on certain points.
It becomes a very ritualistic,
very doubtful.
Yeah.
Anytime we take any religion, and it becomes becomes about the religion and what we do that gets us to heaven, then that's a problem. And what I mean by that is there's a lot of Catholics who believe that as long as they go to Mass, as long as they were baptized when they were a kid,
as long as they take communion,
and as long as they confess their sins to a priest, they're good. And then the rest of their life, when they're outside of the Catholic Church, they can do whatever the hell they want.
Right.
I do not agree with that in any sense of the word.
Right.
You can't live like hell and then try to go to heaven.
Exactly.
And that's what I meant by that, by saying do whatever the hell.
I got you.
It's like a little plan words.
Yeah, I got it. It's called a pun. You're very punny
I'm
this
punny.
Evening.
So you can't live like hell and expect to go to heaven.
Right.
It just doesn't work that way. So anytime a religion becomes more about what you do than about what Christ has done, there's a problem.
Amen.
So now that's the case for any religion, not just Catholicism. I know a lot of people who think that because they've come forward and said a prayer, now they go to church on Sundays and Wednesdays, that they're going to go to heaven. And I've got to tell them, hey, that's not the case. Sanctification is a huge part as well. So I think as Christians we need to get rid of a lot of the a lot of the non-essentials and stick to the essentials. You know, there's a lot of non-essentials that people disagree on. And I think that in the non-essentials, we need to have unity. In the essentials, we need to have unity, and we just need to love one another as Christians, as long as there's nothing extreme doctrinally wrong.
Right.
Basically, if they say Jesus Christ wasn't God, okay, that's a problem, and that's something that you go to hell for.
Or it do, and I'm going to throw it out there, I'm maybe it's just me, not necessarily a fan of praying to saints and or anybody other than Jesus Christ, because I'm pretty sure Hebrews reminds us that he is our high priest and we don't have to go to anybody else. We can we can speak directly to him.
Yep.
And so not necessarily a fan of that either. So, Adrian, to answer your question, is practicing Catholicism wrong or sinful in the eyes of the Lord? It depends.
Hey, and I just want to say, on the note of the racism question before, I found a couple of verses for you. One, Galatians 3:28 says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, you are all one in Jesus Christ. And that just points out that when Jesus Christ came, he kind of broke down those barriers and those boundaries between races, between equality between men and women, between a lot of those things. And so I think that's important to notice. And then I would also point out Song of Solomon. Solomon married someone who was of a different color.
Booyah!
In Song of Solomon 1:5, it says, I am very dark but lovely, O daughters of Jerusalem, like the tents of Kedar, like the curtains of Solomon. She was of a different race and of a different descent. She was a Shulamite, and she was a completely different race than what Solomon was as a Jew. And they had a marriage that we as Christians use as a basis for dating, marriage, engagement to this day. The only book that's entirely on love, the Song of Solomon. So as a matter of fact, the only model relationship that the Bible gives us is a mixed race relationship. So there you go.
There it is. I like that. Hey, we got to take a quick break, but coming right back more with you and, you and you and you and
yes.
you and you. I'm Steve-O. To my right, Pastor Nate Heitzig. The phone lines are open, 505-338-3700 or, of course, facebook.com/mystaticradio. We'll be right back.
Shock Therapy Live. We thought we knew what we were getting into. Now we're just trying to get through the show without getting fined. Leave your comment on tonight's topic at facebook.com/mystaticradio or call 505-338-3700. You're still listening? Good, because Steve-O and Nate haven't bailed yet either. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
What? Welcome back. 7:28 on your Sunday evening. Steve-O... Pastor Nate, hanging out.
Yeah, check it out.
Yeah, it's welcome to Shock Therapy Live.
We haven't had gospel rapper calling in a long time, man.
Oh, dude, you're right.
He used to always call in and have awesome, encouraging things to say to us in a really cool voice.
True story.
Man.
True story.
Gospel rapper, where are you?
If you would like to join the conversation, 505-338-3700, the phone line. Got a couple phone lines open. In fact, we had a caller who called in and they hung up.
Yes, and we will not answer your question until you call back.
Yeah.
So call us back,
You only started to talk about it. But, we've already had some interesting stuff. And, of course, if you miss any portion of the show, we do podcast this bad boy at mystaticradio.com/shocktherapylive. And,
.com.
There it is. So we answered Amber Dawn's question.
Amber Dawn.
Let's see.
Hello.
Hello.
Shock Therapy Live. What's up?
I'd like to ask a question. do you think gay people or there's tongue leader, will they ever get into heaven if they're Christian?
Do we think gay people will get into heaven?
If they are Christian.
If they are Christian.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a good...
Gay people will get into heaven.
Turn your radio...
okay, there we go.
Okay, cool.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, so check this out. We've answered this question to some length, actually, several times.
Yeah.
And if you really want a full understanding of that, we encourage you to go to mystaticradio.com and go to Media and Shock Therapy Live, and you can check out the podcasts on there. We've got them categorized. But really quick, we've said it before. Being a Christian... And that's what I'm going to use your term here, because you said, can a gay person who's a Christian go to heaven? Well, I want to define what a Christian is, because in a second I'm going to show you that you can't be a practicing homosexual, you can't be a practicing murderer, you can't be a practicing liar, you can't be a practicing thief and be a Christian. What I mean by that is the Bible says that salvation is three parts. It is justification, which is the time when someone asks Jesus to come into their lives, sanctification, which is the continual process where a believer constantly gives over the areas of their lives that are not pleasing to God and against the Bible in order to be transformed into the image of God. And then finally, glorification, which is when a believer dies, goes to heaven, gets a glorified body, and lives in a glorified state with Jesus Christ. So it's a three-part process. So when you come to Christ, it's not enough to just come to Christ, accept Jesus, and then live however you want. Live against the Bible.
Right.
In order to be a true Christian, you have to constantly and daily make changes in your life that reflect the decision you've made to receive Christ into your life. So that means that if you before were an alcoholic and had an issue with alcoholism, once you become a Christian, you actively get rid of alcoholism from your life. Now, that doesn't mean that you just snap your fingers and you never have the urge to do it, but it means you don't put yourself in the position to be tempted by that sin. It means that when your friends invite you to a bar as an alcoholic, you don't go to the bar because you know you struggle with that sin. So this would work the same with homosexuality. If a homosexual gives their life to Christ and they become a Christian, from that point on, they might have the inclination, the urge to act on homosexual desires, and that's temptation. There's nothing wrong with that. But when they act on that temptation consistently and habitually, that becomes a sin and that becomes a lifestyle sin. So I've known many friends of mine, people who struggle with homosexuality, gave their lives to Christ, and then they actively tried from that point on to give up the homosexual lifestyle. Their friends that were homosexual, they stopped spending time with. The people that they associated with that caused them to fall into temptation, they stopped spending time with. They actively tried to get rid of that sin. Once again, homosexuality is no different than any other sin.
Right.
It separates us from God. It can be conquered, but at the same time, it can be tempting. And I know a lot of people who feel like they're constantly sinning when they're tempted by homosexuality, but it's not a sin. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18 says, "In that he himself has suffered being tempted, he's able to aid those who are tempted." So we have to keep in mind that when we say, can a Christian homosexual go to heaven, we're not asking the right question. The question we should be asking is, what is a Christian? Because that would be like asking, can a Christian murderer go to heaven? Can a Christian alcoholic go to heaven? And the answer is yes, as long as they're not letting that sin that once ruled their life rule their life anymore. The Bible says to walk in light, not to walk in darkness. Right. And it says that the light has no fellowship with the darkness. What that means is that when we're walking in the darkness, sins become the way that we live. It's who we're defined by. So we're drinking consistently. We're doing drugs consistently. If we're living in a homosexual relationship, we're living in that homosexual relationship consistently. If we have a girlfriend, it means that we're sleeping with them outside of marriage. Once again, that's just as much of a sin as homosexuality.
Right.
Any sin that rules your life is what separates you from God. So the real question is, we need to be sanctified into the image of Christ. And no matter what sin you struggle with, that sin needs to be given over to God and let God take control of that area of your life.
Does that help you out, man?
What if they both go to church?
What's up?
What if they still both go to church?
If they still go...
They sing for the Lord?
This is the thing. There's a lot of people. I'm not just talking about homosexuals here. The Bible says, Jesus says, there will be many that will come to me in that day being when they stand before Jesus Christ on Judgment Day. Jesus says there will be many that will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, did I not do many wonderful things in your name? And he'll say, depart from me, evildoer, I never knew you. That not just homosexuals, many people will believe that they're Christians because they go to church, because they sing songs, because they do good things. And they're going to believe that gets them to heaven. But we have to keep in mind that it's not enough to go to church and sing songs. There has to be a change in your life. And that's where we say sanctification comes in. It's not enough to just come forward, say a prayer, and then go to church and sing songs. And it's not enough to even just read your Bible. There has to be active changes in your life where you can look at your life when you first accepted Christ and look at your life now and you can say, man, the sin that's in my life, the sin that the Bible calls sin, is being actively changed and transformed in the image of Christ. And if that's not happening, I don't care what sin you're struggling with, then there's an issue with your heart. So once again, whether that sin is alcoholism, drugs, premarital sex, homosexuality, no matter what it is, that sin needs to be constantly changed and transformed into the image of Christ. And I want to point out, I'm defining my terms here. I'm talking about someone who's practicing homosexuality. It's a different thing to struggle with homosexuality. Can someone be coming to church, singing songs, have a real relationship with Christ, even be sanctified in Christ and struggle with homosexuality? Yes, they can, because that's temptation. But can someone be actively living it within the act and a homosexual relationship and be sanctified? No. Just as much as can someone actively be doing drugs and sleeping with their girlfriend outside of marriage and be sanctified? No. If we're living in any kind of a sin and it's a part of our lifestyle, then that needs to be changed and given over to God.
Oh, okay.
Does that help?
Yeah, all right.
All right, man. Thanks so much for calling in.
God bless.
God bless.
505-338-3700, the phone number. Intense show already, man.
Yeah, man. Having a lot of fun.
Yeah. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. I always think of Isaiah 64 that talks about how our deeds are like filthy rags. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's junk. You know what I mean? So.
And I think of Paul. Paul said, the sinners of whom I am chief.
Yeah.
You know, Paul says that he was the chief of sinners, and there had to be a change in his lifestyle. And it was evident, and that's what I love about Paul. The change in his lifestyle was evident.
Yeah.
Some people come to Christ, and there's no change in their lifestyle, and everyone realizes that. And once again, a change isn't just going to church. That's not a change, you know? A change is the things in your life that define who you are change, and that's from the bottom all the way to the top.
Yeah, man. 505-338-3700, the phone number, or, of course, facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. You can also email us, studio@MyStaticRadio.com. You know, earlier we talked about Amber Dawn's question about her parents saying it's not right to mix races.
Yes.
I want to touch on this because we got a phone caller call in off the air and say, yeah, but doesn't the Bible also say that we're not to be unequally yoked?
Yeah. Let's read that verse.
Going back to the racism question or going back to the mixing races question, and she really felt like, hey, but the Bible says that we're not to be unequally yoked, talking about races.
You know, this is the thing. I believe that our listeners aren't stupid. Would you agree with me, Steve-O?
I
think they're smart. I think they can deduct things.
I agree.
So let's read the verse and then just let them decide what the verse is talking about, if the verse is talking about races or if the verse is talking about religion.
Ooh, okay. I like that.
2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. I'm going to read it all the way to verse, 15. It says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever?
Okay. What confuses me about that, though, is because, like, the yolk, it's like there's the white part and then there's the yellow part of the egg, right? And so, but if you mix it up, that's like mixing a white dude with a... Never mind.
That didn't make any sense.
It didn't.
That was stupid.
It was stupid. I'm just...
No, it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make any sense!
Anyone who can read the Bible and understand what it's saying in context can say that this has to do explicitly with unbelievers and believers. Why? Because it says so twice.
Right.
It says it at the beginning of verse 14 and at the end of verse 15. And sandwiched in between there, it says, what accord has Christ with Belial, which is... Belial is another false god, so once again you have two religions, and it also has sandwiched in there righteousness with lawlessness, once again two religions, and what communion has light with darkness. Now let's take light and darkness, because this is the only way I could possibly see someone getting confused and saying, well, you know, light-skinned and dark-skinned, so they can't be together.
Man.
Now, if that's the case, that's dumb, because the Bible talks about light and darkness a lot in the Bible, and it doesn't have to do with race or skin color. In John, once again, we just quoted a second ago, it says, walk in the light, not in the darkness, for what fellowship has the light with the darkness?
Right.
And it's speaking of the world, that when we come to Christ, we are given light. Once again, we're not supposed to hide our light under a bushel.
No.
No.
I'm going to let it shine.
I'm going to let it shine, man. So the Bible talks about light, and the Bible talks about darkness. As a matter of fact, in Matthew, it says that we are a light upon a hill.
Yeah.
In Romans, it says that you believe that you are a light to the blind. So this light and this darkness isn't light and dark skin. It's spiritual light and spiritual darkness.
Right, because Jesus is the light of the world, but he was dark skinned.
Booyah! Oh! Bow wow.
Oh, Shock Therapy Live, my favorite hour of the week.
You
welcome
suck.
To Static Radio. The phone number is 505-338-3700. I am Steve-O. With me, as always, Pastor Nate Heitzig.
Yes.
We got some Facebook questions to get to you. And
yeah. Let's do the gluttony one. That's fun.
Yeah, let's talk about
it. I like it because it calls out some people.
Oh, this is great. I love it. Are you kidding me? We're skinny. Let's
check
do it.
Check it out. Here we go. Can you read it in the accent of a teenage girl who's talking to her friends about a text message she received?
So does she have braces?
No.
So like,
no,
hey,
no,
guys?
No. No, it's like, okay, so check this out, guys. So I got this text message last night. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I got this text message last night, and this is what it said. Now go.
I'm not patronizing you. Okay, if gluttony's a sin,
you're doing a bad job of this. Now I should do it.
Wouldn't fat pastors be almost hypocritical when they are leading others not to sin when their own body obviously shows their own sin? It's not almost hypocritical.
No, keep going, keep going.
Okay. And I'm not trying to be a jerk or anything, but it came to me, so I wanted to see what you guys think.
I'm so glad someone said that.
I am stoked on this question.
Hey, I'm not really going to talk a lot about this because I've got a lot of, you know, friends that are pastors that I don't want to offend, but Levi Lusco did a fantastic sermon on this exact subject. He did a sermon on gluttony and on the fact that so many pastors tell people that they shouldn't smoke because it's bad for their body when they're going to have a heart attack at 45 because they don't eat well and because they're gluttonous.
Right.
And these same pastors tell people they shouldn't have tattoos because it's dishonoring to God when their bodies are dishonoring to God. So I believe there's a huge difference between gluttony and some people actually have medical conditions that put them in a place where they're heavyweight. I want to point that out. We're not saying fat people aren't Christians. That's not what we're saying.
Right.
We're not saying that obesity is a sin. What the Bible says is gluttony is a sin.
Right.
So I'm going to really encourage you guys to go to Levi Lusco. Check him out. He's at freshlife.com. Look up that teaching, and that'll be a huge help to you because he does a way better job talking about it and bringing it up than I can in this short segment that we have. So check out his teaching.
It all goes back to Charles Spurgeon and D.L. Moody to me. Do you know the story of D.L. Moody, you know, went over – portly man, went over to visit –
Charles Spurgeon was kind of portly too,
went over to Spurgeon – to cross the water, right? To go see him. And apparently dude was rocking the pipe. And when D.L. Moody showed up and saw him rocking the pipe, said, "How can you, a man of God, do that to your body?" And he took the pipe out and said, "The same way, sir, that you can do that to your body," and point and poked his belly with his pipe.
That's funny.
Pretty much the best story ever.
I like that.
I'm just saying.
It's like, that's almost like that. Did you ever hear that Winston Churchill thing where he walks into the bar? He's in the bar and he's drinking, and like a lady comes up and she's like, "You're drunk, sir." And he says, "Yes, but tomorrow I'll be sober, and tomorrow you'll still be ugly." That's like that. Have you ever heard that one? That's funny.
Wow. 505-338-3700. The phone number. Welcome to Shock Therapy Live. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, man?
I don't know if this is okay for Shock Therapy Live because it's kind of...
Is it theological? Oh, maybe. You're fired.
What?
Maybe.
What?
I'm just kidding.
I was just wondering why the church is so, like, far off from what it is biblically.
Oh, because man's running the show.
And
just say, I mean, that's easy.
And we got to be really, really careful with that. Because the church and churches are very different.
Yeah.
And there's always going to be. Since the day the church was formed, there was churches that were far off. That's a huge reason why Paul had to write certain letters, because there was the Gnostics who were saying things about Jesus that weren't true. There were the Judaizers that were saying things about the church that weren't true. There were all these groups that were coming up that were saying things about the church, and they were doing church in a way that wasn't glorifying to God.
I even think about like the church at Corinth. I mean that's why the letters. Those were Christians who he was like, hey, so, really? I was just there.
So from the very beginning, there's been flaws with the church. And the reason why is because there are flaws with people. And people do stupid things. And that's why I think it's really important. I'm actually doing a huge series on this. It might be really, really helpful for you to listen to. I'm doing a series right now at Renovate called Indoctrinated. We're studying the great doctrines of the Bible. And right now we're studying the doctrine of the church. And we've done three messages so far on the church. And the one that we just did talked about why the church is in the state that it's in today. And the reason I believe is because we don't do what the Bible says. The purpose of the church is found in Acts chapter 2. I want to read it to you. And this gives us the reason. This gives you what the church is supposed to do. So if you have your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 2. And then I want you to go to verse 37. Because this is where we find the first century church and what the church is all about. It says, In verse 40, it says, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Even those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. This is the beginning of the church. 3,000 souls, people, boom, the church begins. And it says this, and verse 42 gives us the purpose of the church and what the church is supposed to do. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. The beginning of that verse, where it says what the church is all about, is something that the church, by and large, today has fallen away from. And that says, continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That basically means having Bible studies.
Yeah.
Verse by verse, studying the Bible. But what church is about today is so many pastors want to tickle people's ears and tell them that they have like a super cool life ahead of them, and they can have their best life now, and that everything's great, and they need to be rich, and they need to be happy. And the messages are these little sermonettes are producing Christianettes. And it's disgusting. It's become more of an emphasis on entertainment and on an experience than it is on experiencing God. It's not about, check it out. What does the church have to offer that the world doesn't? Because if all the church has to offer is a cool experience, like nothing we've ever seen before,
then Avengers 3D can do that.
No, check it
week.
Out, dude. You stole my thunder. I want to punch you in the face.
Like Thor?
I'm gonna punch you in the face. No, if all the church has to offer is a cool experience, then forget the church. I'm going to a Coldplay concert because it's way cooler than any church service that I could go to.
I've been to a Coldplay. Yeah, they're pretty amazing.
So if it's only about an experience, then there's no need for the church because the world has cool experiences.
Yeah.
It's got to be about something more, and I believe that's what God wants us to do, which is preach the gospel to all men. So if we're not preaching the word, if we're not teaching the Bible, then we're not doing what the church is supposed to be doing. So I think that's by and large why the church is in the state that it's in today. But I think that there's a lot of churches that are doing a good job. So that's why I always tell people, look, you don't have to come to Calvary, but go to a church that teaches the Bible.
Yeah.
Not a church that like is just like, hey, we're going to talk about this Sunday. Hey, we're going to talk about this. And not a church that doesn't really know what it's doing, but a church that teaches the Bible. It's so important to have a firm understanding of the counsel of God's word. And so that's why we really stress Bible teaching. So, you know, whatever church you go to, that's fine. Just make sure that it's teaching the Bible.
Does that help you out, man?
Yeah. I think like 42, you hit on that. Awesome. But what about like 44 and 45? No churches are seeking that out, or the people in the congregation.
No, they are. They are to a different extent, though. This is what we would call the tithe, where we're taking what God has given us and we're giving it to the church. We just have to keep in mind this culture was much different in the way that they paid for things, the way that they bartered for things. It was very much a barter system. Hey, I'll give you this cow because I'm a cow farmer for one of your chickens. And so the way that they would tithe would be by taking their possessions and giving them to the church so that the church could be fed. So the way that the church does that that now is by tithing. And you're right. A lot of people don't do that. And that's bad.
Dude,
as a matter
story.
Of fact, they say about 20% of a congregation actually tithes. And of that amount, a smaller amount actually tithes what the Bible says, which is 10%. So churches are supposed to still be doing this. It's just a different culture and different time period. And the way that we do it is differently. But I would agree with you. A lot of people don't do that. And that's wrong. We should be tithing. We should be giving of our resources and our possessions to the Lord.
And so. that equals your tithe check. That also equals your time.
Yeah,
you know
your time.
I mean? Digging
your
in
time.
And getting involved. I mean, yeah.
And I've seen people too tithe in their possessions. We've had people before donate cars to the church.
Yeah.
And say, hey, I want to give this car. I want to donate it to ministry. Is there anything it can be used for? There's at our church, we have a food pantry and people can bring in food and donate their food so that it can help others, help homeless people. So people are still doing it. But more people definitely should be doing it.
Yeah. Does that help you out?
Yeah, right on. Thank you, guys.
Awesome, man.
To offer a bit of encouragement, I'm headed overseas this summer, and me and I think six other people had to raise money, and we raised $30,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dude, praise the Lord. That's so cool.
That's pretty incredible, dude.
Yeah, this is Tyler going to
Hey, Tyler! Hey, man, he was on our morning show, actually.
Oh, cool.
He's going over to, like... crazy places to do some awesome heart transplant style stuff.
That was super vague, but it sounds cool.
Yeah.
Right on. Thanks a lot, guys.
All
right,
man.
Thanks, man. God bless.
All
right,
bye.
505-338-3700, the phone number. We got a lot of stuff to get to, so let's blow out this break and just keep asking questions. We got one on Facebook from Gabby that I wanted to touch on really quickly.
Are there more? We've gotten so many questions.
I know. Gabby says, are tattoos an abomination to God? Where in the Bible does it say we shouldn't have tattoos, or where does it say we can? In my church, there are very different views on tattoos and piercings. What is your view? Gabby, I want to say we've answered this question multiple times at mystaticradio.com/shocktherapylive. You can get the podcast, but the long and short of it is this. Where does it say you can't get tattoos, quote unquote? You find that in Leviticus chapter 19. Now, why you need to be careful with that is this. Because Leviticus chapter 19 are the laws for the Levites. It was Levitical law, and there were three types of laws. The ceremonial law, the civil law, and the moral law. Now, the moral law was like the Ten Commandments, basically, right? That's like your moral stuff. Don't kill people. Don't have other gods before me. The ceremonial law was like, hey, don't rock this type of fabric. Don't cut the sides of your face. Don't mark your bodies. And then the civil law was like, here's what you do if somebody steals your cow, right?
Yeah.
Are you just staring at me because you want to see where I'm going with this?
I was reading another question on Facebook,
okay,
so I'm just kind of letting you go for it.
That is underneath the ceremonial law. In the Levitical law. And so people would say, oh, well, Leviticus chapter 19 says, you know, do not mark your bodies in honor of the dead.
You better have a beard, mother.
Yeah, exactly. It also says not to cut the sides of your face, so you better rock some really sweet, curly-cue sideburns.
Dude. Oh, that's why, the Jews still do that today.
Yeah, true story. you can't rock fabric of more than one kind, so don't shop at the Gap, yo, because I'm telling you, if you have multiple fabric on, you're going to hell.
Man, I mean, you better just wear wool. It's going to be itchy.
And if you wash that stuff, don't you put that in the dryer. You hang that out to dry. You know what I'm saying?
Shoot, girl.
That wool gets crazy, yo.
Yeah, boy.
Gabby, we're having some fun with it, but the truth of the matter is, check out our podcast. We've answered it many
times.
Way better. And we can give you a full-on answer of that because we talk about it extensively.
Yes.
Long and short of it is.
I want to clear something up I said.
Nope. Yeah.
Because Lowell Cox said, I have the same thought process as Dalton C. talking about fat pastors. I would really like to hear what y'all have to say about that. And Pastor Nate, what about rednecks who love Jesus? Because I'm one. Hey, I'm not hating on rednecks. And I want to define the difference between I said, you know, there's some people.
Me. I'm literally
yeah,
you
literally
one
are
right
a redneck.
Now.
I'm talking about rednecks who are like, if you get on my property, I'm going to eat you, boy.
Yeah.
And like the kind of rednecks that drive around trucks with those. Have you ever seen those nasty truck male genitalia that people hang on the back of their truck?
It's stupid.
Anytime I see that, I want to hit their car with my car. But the thing is, you only have those if your car is super lifted, so my car would get totaled if I tried to do that. But that disgusts me.
So at least you're honest.
That's what I'm talking about. When I'm talking about rednecks, that's what I'm talking about. Like, I've got a, like, Confederate flag on the back of my truck, and I have male genitalia in the back of my truck, and, like, I will shoot you if you don't believe what I believe kind of people. That's what I'm talking about.
Wow. Welcome to Shock Therapy Live. Hello, you're in the air.
Hi, I just want to say you guys should have a longer Shock Therapy. This is, like, awesome. It's, like, the highlight of my whole week.
Dude,
oh,
thank you.
I was actually talking to someone about that today. They said you should do it on another night. You guys should have multiple Shock Therapies.
We keep hearing that. We should have multiple nights.
That'd be awesome.
Dude, you know what we should do? I was talking to my dad about this. We should do it Fridays after school, like 3 o'clock while people are on their way home from school, have Shock Therapy Live Fridays during the day.
It'd be horrible.
Why?
Because we'd have to be here Friday at 3 o'clock. I'm just kidding. When would you like us to have Shock Therapy Live?
You should just have it for 2 hours. Because, like, everybody has so many questions just because the whole week has gone by and, you know, like, everything happens during the week. And just have it, like, for a longer time period.
Here's my encouragement to everybody because we do get, we seem to get a lot of questions from people towards the end of the show.
Yeah.
And so maybe if people actually started tuning in at 7 o'clock and getting their questions in at the top of the hour, then we would have more stuff to talk about
at the beginning of the show.
And
to our listeners, if you want to hear Shock Therapy more, if you want it longer, you want to have it more in the week, put it on our Facebook page, or send us an email and let us know because if we hear from enough people, we just might be like, hey, maybe we need to do it.
I happen to know I'm really good friends with the program director of the station.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know him too.
Yeah, he's a really good guy.
I think I actually saw him earlier.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Dude, he's got
thank you for the call.
Wait, I have something to say. Oh,
okay.
I'm sorry, like, I just wanted to bring that up. Anyways, so you guys know how you were talking about the tattoos and about the sin it says in the Bible and stuff?
Yeah.
So, I know multiple people who have tattoos of, like, Bible readings and the cross and Jesus. So would that be counted as a sin? Because you're marking your body still. It's just
I don't know if you've ever seen my body, but
yes, I have seen your body multiple times.
I have tattoos all over, and that just got really uncomfortable. Recover.
He's got a lot of tattoos. I've got tattoos. I've got a huge one on my back. Yeah. We're actually saying the opposite. Tattoos aren't bad.
No, I don't believe they are not.
And I would say tattoos are only bad when they're of something that's bad.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if you've got like 666 tattooed on your back that says kill everyone, that's bad.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got like an upside down cross, that's not good.
No.
But you know, I've actually known friends who have led people to Christ through tattoos.
Yeah.
That someone saw their tattoo and said, wow, what is that? And they had a chance to explain what it meant, and it ended up, you know, bringing someone to Christ. So I think that we're saying the opposite, is that tattoos aren't bad unless they're of something bad.
Yeah, you know, and that's my it's the heart of the matter. Why do you want to get it? I'm not saying that everybody should run out and get a tattoo. Definitely take it before God. I'm actually working on my left arm, a whole sleeve with Dave Martinez right now, that is going to be a testimony of my life and what God has brought me through, because, man, I've been in the gutter. I've seen the worst of the worst, and there's a phenomenal story in the book of Daniel that I would like to share, and not just with my words, but you're right. People will approach you if the art is good, man. They're gonna ask you about it. What is that? And I can tell them, dude, this represents what God has brought me through. And so, yeah, that's what I would have to say. Does that help you?
Yeah, I found that true, because whenever I see people with tattoos, I tend to ask them, like, well, what's that for? Like, what does that mean and stuff? So, and you know, sometimes they just say, well, I thought it was cool, but tattoos are going to be on you forever. It's permanently on your body. It should actually mean something to you besides just a fashion.
Totally. Yeah, definitely don't get a tattoo if you're like, hey, I want to get a tattoo tonight. I'm going to go get one. I heard someone say, and I've taken this sound wisdom, before you get a tattoo, draw it out and then don't get it for a year. And if after 1 year you still want that same tattoo, chances are you'll like it for the rest of your life. But so many people get a tattoo the night of and they're like, oh, me and my girlfriend get matching tattoos, and then like a year later they're like, that was the stupidest thing I've ever done, and they have to spend a ton of money to get it covered up by a good tattoo.
Yeah,
and it is totally a bummer.
It's horrible. Yeah.
So if you're gonna get a tattoo, think about what you're gonna get and let it mean something, not just be something stupid that you're gonna regret in there 5 years. So.
All right. Thank you for the call. We are just about out of show, but real
good
fast,
night.
I want to answer
more.
This. Brett Montgomery on Facebook says, what are your thoughts about Christians in the film and television business, not just Christian films, but secular stuff as well, as long as it's not something compromising? I think it's fantastic, and we need to be infiltrating every single area. Jeremiah, multiple Jeremiahs. We know multiple Jeremiahs. The one I'm thinking
Jeremiah
of
Wood.
Is the, well, actually, I was thinking of not Jeremiah Wood, but Jeremiah, who was part of Breaking Bad for, what, almost two whole seasons he was on Breaking Bad. And, dude, Curtis the movie guy, who is on set every single day of Breaking
Bad.
I've
got a chick who's a volunteer at Calvary Metro. She's the costume designer for the Lone Ranger right now in Albuquerque. She does Johnny Depp suits.
Brilliant. See, Brett, I want to say this. We need to be in that industry. We need to be in every industry. I think, sadly, Christians get nervous and scared, and we hide away, and we don't engage the culture around us. And as long as you're not compromising your standards, or not yours, but the biblical standard.
Yeah.
Dude, as long as you're not compromising, get in there! Let's flip that industry upside down.
Redeem
so they
the
stop
time.
Making crappy Christian movies and start making good stuff.
Yes.
Like the Book of Eli.
No more left behind. We want the persecuted.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Man, thanks to everybody who emailed in, called in, Facebooked in. We do this every single Sunday at 7 p.m. If you missed a part of the show, we will have the podcast up at mystaticradio.com.
We love you guys. You make us happy.
Yeah. I love it. I'm out, dude. I'm going to go get me some grub.
You're going to even eat yet?
It's 8
o'clock.
I haven't. I know. I'm
Man.
Out.
Man.
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, Puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.